What brings about final and ultimate judgment? And what is repentance for? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, before we get into it, I'd like to remind you about my favorite event that happens every year, and it's the National Conference of the Grace Evangelical Society. We hold our national conference this year on October 26th through October 29th. It's going to take place at Capel Bible Fellowship in Capel, Texas. You can find out more about this and other events at faithalone.org. Well, let's jump right into today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are taking your questions. We're finishing up some projects, and we're excited about some upcoming book projects. For example, we just got the green light to work on a Grace Old Testament commentary, which I'm very excited about.
But it's like a five-year project. Well, we could do it in two or three, maybe.
Yeah, I think we will. But your book, Faith Alone in 100 Verses.
Yeah,
which
you're
is,
on chapter 97, right?
As far as
proofing and everything?
In terms of final proofing, it's just about there. I think it'll be ready in November. We're recording this at the beginning of September. For sure, it'll be available for Christmas. Privately, I think it's going to be ready for our national conference, which will be at the end of October,
right,
2020, at Capel Bible Fellowship. And once we get those books done, then we'll start doing some series based on those books. But people love the Q&A. They send us questions all the time. Send your questions to us at radio@faithalone.org.
Well, and the thing is, we like answering questions because what we found is the question of one person is the question of hundreds, if not thousands, of people.
Oh, yeah.
And I found that, especially when you say, you know, here's a fairly difficult question, they're extremely difficult.
Yeah.
And the ones you think are fairly normal are often difficult. The real simple questions, we typically just send an answer and don't get on the air. So
yeah, that's right.
These are the toughest ones.
That's right. Well, so for example, here's a question from Thuns, and I hope that I'm pronouncing his name right, from South Africa.
Thuns.
And he says his pastor at this independent Baptist church he goes to has been doing some expository preaching, and they've been going through Daniel 9 with regard to proper repentance. But something unsettles me a bit. The pastor stated the final and ultimate judgment is because of an unrepentant world. Personally, for me, it's not the sin matter dealt by Jesus on the cross and by the Father's grace, but worldwide rejection of Jesus as our Savior. Any thoughts on this? So just before this program, we were reading through Daniel 9, and certainly all throughout Daniel 9, you have a confession of sin and iniquity many, many times, pretty much every other verse. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled. We have sinned. All Israel has transgressed your law. We have sinned against him. I think a key verse here is in verse 12, and he has confirmed his words which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us by bringing upon us a great disaster. And in verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. And then it says, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth.
Right, and Daniel, of course, was taken away in the Babylonian captivity. In the very first chapter,
right,
we've got Daniel and his three friends, and they're young, probably 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And Daniel basically lives during the whole of the Babylonian captivity. It's 70 years long.
Right.
He starts at about age, let's say, 15, 13, and at the end, well, he's a man in his mid-80s, but he evidently lives all the way to the end, or real close anyway, to the end of that whole time. And
right,
that is because of Israel's sin. Repeated sin. Like, you know,
oh, yeah,
the judges, in the time of the judges, there was sin, there was repentance. There was sin, there was repentance. Each time God would send judgment, then they would repent, then more sin, more judgment. And you get these cycles.
Yes.
In Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, you have these chapters dealing with what's called the blessings and cursings motif.
Right.
And God promises to bless Israel if they obey him and to curse Israel if they disobey him.
Mm-hmm.
There is that theme, but go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you've recently written a book about repentance. We felt the need to do that because there's so much confusion about what repentance is and what it's for. I think what it's for is kind of highlighted in Daniel 9. He says, there's this disaster coming upon us because of our sin. And he means a actual this world disaster, actual nation being destroyed, people dying, people being taken into captivity.
Okay, but Thune's point is, okay, how is that consistent with the cross?
Right.
In other words, Jesus shed his blood for the sin of the world.
Right. So when I'm reading Thune's question, it seems like he's thinking in terms of, or maybe his pastor is thinking in terms of it's a salvation issue. You need an eternal salvation issue.
I don't know, but it sounds like the pastor is saying judgment is coming as a result of sin. But no, our eternal destiny is determined exactly like Thunes is saying,
right,
by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason people are eternally condemned is, as he says, because they reject Christ.
Right. That's what Thunes believes, and that's what we believe. But there's still room for us to preach repentance.
And there's also room for God to judge sin.
Because Jesus, when he took away the sins of the world, John 1:29, that means something very specific. And
right.
It doesn't mean you get to live a consequence-free life when you sin. That's not what Jesus took away. Jesus didn't take away the consequences of sin.
Right. In fact, when Paul says the wages of sin is death, a lot of people think that's talking about eternal condemnation. That's saying the wages of sin is physical death. And the reason everyone dies is because everyone sins.
Mm-hmm.
Adam and Eve introduced death into the world, physical death into the world, because they sinned. There is also an eternal separation from God for the person who does not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ before they die. But that's a separate issue.
Right.
That is called the second death in Revelation 20:14. But the wages of sin is death looks at the first death, physical death. All through Scripture we see this. Remember the book of Jonah?
Yeah.
Jonah's sent to Nineveh. The judgment is coming in 40 days. They're going to be destroyed in 40 days. They repent, all of them, from the king on down. Even the animals they put on sackcloth and ashes. They fast, they weep, they cry out, they pray, and
yeah.
God delivers them, right?
Right.
And Nineveh ends up surviving another 150 years. And
right.
Remember with Jesus in Luke 13:3-5, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.
It's like that the tower fell on people, right?
Right.
And he was like, don't think that's a special case.
You'll die too.
You're going to die too.
That wasn't talking about eternal condemnation.
Right.
That was talking about physical death.
And 40 years later, Jerusalem was destroyed.
Yeah, in the Jewish war between 66 and 70. And so you see this all through Scripture. And remember, Israel wasn't allowed to come out of Egypt until the sins of the Canaanites were full. And that's a general teaching in Scripture. In fact, 2 Peter 3:9 says, God wishes none should perish, but all should come to repentance. And the verses which follow talk about the ultimate destruction of the earth after the millennium.
Right.
But the basic point of 2 Peter 3:9 is the tribulation comes immediately after Christ rapturing the church,
mm-hmm.
and it's part of the second coming, and that's going to be billions of deaths. And
right.
God doesn't want that. And so until the sins of the world are filled up, repentance forestalls the tribulation.
Right.
And so, you know, what Thunes is saying is true, of course. Worldwide rejection of Christ is leading to worldwide condemnation eternally. In other words...
And rejection is unbelief.
Unbelief,
it's
yeah.
It's unbelief.
However, that is tied or related to sin.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So the more people reject Christ, generally speaking, the more they indulge in a life of sin, which brings consequences. Now, it is true, of course, there are legalistic people who are fairly moral or very moral, even though it's a kind of a Pharisaic righteousness, which
right.
isn't true righteousness.
Right.
But the point is, when people sin, they bring judgment upon themselves. That's why, for example, that nations get concerned.
Yeah.
The believers in a nation, like here in the United States, believers can get concerned when we see wickedness rising in our country.
Sure.
And we can wonder, is God going to bring about some sort of cataclysmic judgment on America?
I mean, the wickedness itself brings its own judgment. You can just look at the news and just see
yeah, right.
buildings and houses and all this stuff on fire and people being killed and just in the rioting and looting that's happening now. But just in general, all the drug use that leads to broken homes and fatherlessness and then the suffering of the kids, those are all consequences of sin. And as grace people, as grace preachers, it is totally appropriate for us to call people to repentance because we don't want them to sin or to have the deadly consequences of those sins. But that call to repentance doesn't mean we're making that a condition to be born again. That's a separate issue.
That's exactly right. And also, of course, when people turn from their sins, they're often more open to going to church, to hearing the word of God preached, and right. to the message of everlasting life.
Right.
Some people wrongly think that unless they clean up their lives, they're not worthy
right.
to be saved, to be born again. What they will discover is if they come to a solid Bible-teaching church, is that they got it wrong. In order to be worthy, you need to be ungodly, because Christ died for the ungodly.
Right, right. In order to see the physician, you need to be sick.
That's right.
So I don't know if we really answered Thunz's question in particular about specifically about Daniel 9, but this is more of a discussion about what is repentance for and what are the consequences of sin.
Right, and it's very clear from Genesis to Revelation that repentance forestalls temporal judgment, judgment in this life. You see this in Revelation 9, you see this in Revelation 16, that the people of the world were not repenting of their evil deeds during the tribulation, the judgments continued unabated. And so all through Scripture, when people indulge in sin, they reap the consequences. What was Sodom and Gomorrah all about? Their sins were filled up. Remember this funny dialogue between Abraham and the Lord Jesus Christ? I take it that's the pre-incarnate Christ. Mm-hmm. They're talking back and forth. He says, what if there are 50 people in Sodom, 50 yeah. righteous people?
Yeah.
Would you spare the sin? Okay. 45? Okay. 40? 30?
Right.
20? How about 10? Mm-hmm. And so the Lord goes, I'll tell you what, I'll spare the city if there's 10.
Yeah.
There weren't.
There weren't. I mean, that's a scary proposition, that kind of depravity and sinfulness can be so pervasive throughout a whole city.
Right.
I mean, that's very, very scary, which is why repentance is such an important doctrine. And if you're curious about what repentance actually means and what it's for, you want to pick up a copy of Bob's book, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance. And I'll put it on sale. Use the code TURN50. To get 50% off that book. So use the code TURN50 at faithalone.org to get 50% off Bob's book, Turn and Live. Great book on repentance. Well, keep on sending your questions to radio@faithalone.org. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to take a quick look at Psalms 1, so you want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.